Welcome to Straight Talk with me, Brother Gregory, talking to you about the kingdom of God. We're always looking for news items and stories that will have something to do with the kingdom and how to see the king, perceive the kingdom. We're supposed to be preaching the kingdom, but almost nobody today even knows what the kingdom is all about. What does this kingdom look like? For some reason or other, Christianity has given us the impression that the kingdom of God is where you go when you die. But the truth is, the kingdom of God is where you are when you're alive in Christ. Now, a lot of people think they're alive in Christ. They think they believe in Christ. But they're actually under a strong delusion. They don't really know who Christ is, what he taught, what he believed. And we're going to talk about some of those things, and we're going to talk about women in particular. And one of the reasons why I picked that topic is I've heard a number of stories in the last couple of weeks that has to do with women and includes women and is about things that women are doing and thinking that really has brought them deeply into bondage. I could do a story on men as well, but I thought it would be, because of the particular news items, I thought I would begin with women, with ladies first. And with many of you, it may be awakening something in you, help you realize something about your role as a woman in the kingdom. Because, you know, one thing I've always said, lectures across the country, is if you want to oppress the people, first you oppress the women. Now today, because of women's lib or women's liberation, etc., these movements that have been going on since the 60s and maybe even before, women have the idea that they've been emancipated when in actuality they have been brought deeply into bondage. They don't have the free choice that they think they do because they have been given a delusion of license. They are allowed freedoms to do things that they were not allowed to do before, or they think they were not allowed to do before. But these freedoms, these licensing activities, actually brings them greater and greater bondage. The same is true of men, but that's not going to be our topic today. Our topic today, and of course it's going to be overlapping, and some of you men might recognize your own problem. Of course, in every country in the world, there is today a Corby system of statutory bondage whereby a portion of your labor belongs to the government. These systems have been around for many, many years. They were around in the days of Nimrod. They were around in the days of Pharaoh. And they're around today in every single country. And the people have to pay in a portion of their labor to satisfy an obligation to institutions that they or their fathers have created. That is the bondage of Egypt, and it is the bondage in today's world. We're going to be looking at that, but there's other forms of bondage, psychological bondage, emotional bondage, spiritual bondage. And in reality, this Corby system of statutory bondage, which requires a portion of your labor where you have to work without pay, which is bondage, which is slavery, but it's voluntary slavery, so it's legal. Involuntary servitude is illegal in America. But voluntary servitude is very illegal. I remember reading an article many, many, many years ago where it said that slavery was outlawed in the last country of the world in 1960. I think it was 60 or 61. I think it was Saudi Arabia. And the reality is involuntary servitude has been outlawed, but voluntary servitude is very, very, very legal. It is the basis of the legal system and the basis of much of the tax systems throughout the world today. Because most taxes are based on a persona jurisdiction. There is taxes also on, you know, use taxes on the use of items, but the reality is Your labor is your first property. Your right to work is your first possession. And if someone else has the right to compel you to work for them, you're in bondage. If they are making you work without pay, then you're in bondage. You're a slave, or at least for that period of time. And in reality, that time is hard to distinguish. And most people don't realize it, but the first fruits of your labor belong to somebody else. When you work, I don't care where you work, at McDonald's or at Prudential Insurance Company, the first hours of the day that you work, the labor, the value of that labor goes to somebody else. It does not go to you. It is taken away from you and sent to somebody else. In a very unique set of circumstances, you are literally building the pyramids of Egypt, where one-fifth of your labor had to go to the Pharaoh. And that, in this case, it's the first fruits of your labor. And this is actually because you have not kept the Sabbath. It has nothing to do with a day. Sabbath has to do with a principle, a precept of working and then resting, because you work first. That's the precept of the Sabbath. You work, you earn the right to rest. You earn the benefit of that work because you worked first. But those who wanted the benefit first and then owe, they're not keeping the Sabbath. That's really what the Sabbath is all about. We're always trying to reduce these precepts upon precepts down to ritual and form. And as soon as we do that, someone comes along and unmoors the form from the precept. We lose the precept, but we cling to the form as we go floating out into a sea of iniquity. And we miss the simplicity of the precept. But we got the form. Whenever we do that, that is idolatry. That is the essence of idolatry, to cling to the form and lose sight of the precept, to cling to the thing that was an image, an example, a metaphor for a precept. When we cling to that image that we create, instead of the actual precept that the image was giving you an ensample of, an example of, then you're an idolater. And we all do that. It has all been done by us and to us and through us, where we have held up this precept and the image of that precept in a metaphoric explanation of that precept, and turn the metaphor into the God that we worship, the item, the thought that we worship, instead of obeying the precept. So anyway, that's a little item on idolatry. There's a number of other news items, but we'll cover that in another show. I got online to connect with this radio show 5 seconds before we went on air. I've been rushing around trying to do all kinds of things. I was gone all yesterday and up late last night until the wee hours trying to get things done. So, but I do have lots of notes on this idea of woman. What is a woman? And, of course, when we go back to the original Old Testament, we have God created man, and then woman was created out of this rib that he took from man when he went to sleep, because God saw that was not right that man be alone. Now, I have a little joke I often tell when talking to people on this, which I won't tell now. I'll just hold you in suspense on that. But the fact is that man needs a woman to test the metal of that man. And because man is only made out of clay, the character of a woman created by God is made to test the mettle of a man, because without that test, no pain, no gain. And you would be be shocked probably if I told you exactly why God created woman in the way that she is. I'm talking about the essence of that personification of a woman, which we see manifest in her physical form, but it actually is the result of a spiritual form that God has endowed a woman with. And of course, nowadays we see a huge rise in the gay populations, men thinking they're women and women thinking they're men. And it's very, very confusing. And we know that the Bible tells us that this is going to come about because we are turned over to these unnatural lusts and these pursuits against nature. And why are we turned over to them? Because we have become a selfish people, because we have forgot the precept upon precept. God is not selfish. It is not in his nature to be selfish. And they talk about him being a jealous God, but we have to go back to the Hebrew to understand what that means. But the reality is God went out of his way to create a universe. It is in his nature to create life and to give that life away, to give us choice, because that's the ultimate power of life, is to actually choose. He didn't just create puppets. He didn't just create things that have no individuality. Even the animals have an individuality. Even animals develop characters that we can call virtuous. You know, good dog, bad dog. There is this choice. Now, I admit that the choice that men have is a real choice of dominion. But even animals are not just chemical reactions. There is a living creature in there. And to the extent that they are a living creature, there is choices that even they have to make. But the choices we have are on a far, far superior level. But unfortunately, we are not making the superior choice. And when we don't make the superior choice, when we don't follow that image of God, that character of God, that nature of God that was made in us uniquely as men and women, we will be given over to unnatural lusts. And we will become these unnatural creatures that pursue life in unnatural ways and perversions. And, you know, some of these perversions we can look at and say, oh, well, that's obvious. That's a perverted thing. You know, like I pointed out, evidently there was a law where they repealed the law against bestiality in the military. What is that? Who was it that wanted to lobby that in? But not long before that, they start taking away the bans against homosexuality. And it's now, you know, it's actually being taught in your public schools that that's all natural, that it's natural to be a homosexual. And one of the most amazing things is that I discovered is that almost everybody that thinks being gay is natural also believes in evolution. Well, according to evolution, the gene that makes you gay, if there was such a thing, would have been bred out of existence eons ago. You can't be producing people that have some gene that automatically makes them gay simply through the process of reproduction, because they don't reproduce. So, no, this is all the end result of something else that people are being given over. And so what's happening is that a woman, as we know today, as what is often held up as a woman, is not the same woman that God created. And the women are being treated out of their true nature, because their true nature is divine, as a divine creation. And they don't realize it, that they're not only getting strange ideas floating around in their head that they're accepting as real, they're actually losing access to the miracles of their own true nature. If you go back into history after the time of Christ, there's a huge history of special people who were, you can call them adepts of the nature of Christ, healing, foretelling the future. We see right there in the Bible, it was two young women, daughters of another man, who were foretelling of the coming of certain events. The Christians had these abilities of seeing the future, of touching people and healing them, of all sorts of the miracles that we saw Christ doing were done by both men and women. Each man, each woman is a vessel of the Holy Spirit, and we will receive that Spirit, which is natural for us. Miracles will also be natural to us. And unfortunately, we have walked away from the natural nature, the superior nature of man and woman, and gone whoring after the nature of Nimrod, exercising authority one over the other. And so anyway, a couple of those stories, we'll just touch on them briefly here. We'll talk about them in greater detail on LibertyLiveRadio.com right after the show. And then again this evening we'll talk about it on Freedomizer. But one of the stories was the story that was this Rush Limbaugh story, that where he had called a woman a slut, which is actually a word you can look up in the dictionary. Some people say it is a vulgar word, and maybe it is, but the reality is being a slut, that is vulgar. Being promiscuous, being a whore, a fornicator, these are real things, the real words, and some of them are found in the Bible. And if a woman is that way, that is terrible. That is what is vulgar. The act is what is vulgar. Realizing that the act took place is not a vulgar. You know, the word bitch is a word that means a pregnant dog. And when my dog is pregnant, she's a bitch. That's a word. To use that, to call a person that, that may be crude and vulgar, because, and it's also misapplied. But if someone is a fornicator, adulterer, and you call them that, that is just what they are. And it is our, you know, we should not defame somebody unfairly, but if someone is doing something wrong, we should rebuke them and use words to that, to explain that rebuke, that are clear and concise. And what was happening was a woman was out there testifying that she was having such a hard time because the insurance policy that she had would not provide her with birth control. And as if that's a medical treatment for a disease. It's not a medical treatment for a disease. It gives you license to go out and be promiscuous, to be a fornicator, to be an adulterer. She was not married, and she wanted to have birth control because she was sleeping around. Now, was, you know, was it with multiple partners? Was it with a single partner? I don't know. It's not supposed to be with any partner. She is married. It is not natural to be out there. For one thing, it's extremely not natural to be wanting to go out there and have relationships and not produce, to be have a fruitless, self-absorbent, self-gratifying relationship with somebody else. She shouldn't be doing that. It's not natural. That's not the purpose of those relationships. The purpose of those relationships is to procreate, to give birth, to give life. She doesn't want to be a mother. She just wants to have fun. It is a selfish act. It is not a natural act. But anyway, so, and people were so, I was just astonished that people were so up in arms. Oh, you pick on this poor girl. She's probably spending anywhere between $50,000 or more a year on an education. She's going to a very expensive college. I don't know who was paying it, probably the government. Was paying a good amount of that. There's probably student loans involved, etc. I don't have the details. She can't afford birth control. Her boyfriend isn't going to cough up a little birth control. I mean, she's already moved into the world of an unnatural act. Why isn't she paying for that herself? She wants somebody else to pay for it, and she wants to force somebody else to pay for it because they're moving in the direction of forced health care, and now they're forcing the Catholic Church, they're trying to force the Catholic Church to pay for abortions, morning after pills, etc., which they consider to be immoral. But they're going to force them to provide those in their health insurance. It'd be very interesting to find out what these Catholic Church bishops finally decide. Are they going to have to close down Notre Dame? Because there's something going on in the back. Why the president would be pressing that issue, knowing that it's going to cause this tremendous backlash, I think it's part of the dialectic. They're trying to create sides here, and they're going to use this to defame religion in general. And at the same time that that's happening, it was the Chase Manhattan Bank went out and closed all the Vatican's accounts, which could amount to millions and billions of dollars even. I don't know how much they have in Chase, but they're closing all the Vatican accounts. So there's something going on behind the scenes with all that. But we're talking about women here, and there's actually quite a bit going on behind the scenes, even geologically, in the world today. But we'll talk about that some other time. So we have this going as a drama going on, and I heard an interview where somebody was talking about the fact that they had women had these tremendous advances recently because, you know, in the last 100 years, because they have been emancipated. They're out in the business place. This was a woman on a call-in show talking, and that we don't want to reverse these great advances where we're out there, we're working in major companies, we have major positions, et cetera, et cetera. These women, she talks about, who want to remain barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, they can go and waste their lives doing that. But she was going to make something of her life out in the business world. In reality, I was just stunned at that. If a man had said that, he would be considered such a chauvinist. And what the simplicity of the insanity of this is just ridiculous. A woman had one of the most prestigious jobs in all society. Society is born out of the womb of a woman. She gives society life. Without that woman giving birth to a child, there is no society. No great society, no imprisoned society, no Egyptian bondage, nothing. But in this new, brave new world that we're creating, a woman is considered nothing but a test tube to produce new fodder for their society of human resources. A woman's job, that barefoot and pregnant woman in the kitchen she referred to, is the most sacred job there is on the face of the earth, because she gives birth to society. She is the one who bears the fruit. Not only that, but her job, her vital job in society, was health, education, and welfare before the government took that job over. She was the primary educator in the early days of a child's life. She was the provider of health. When she was working in the kitchen, she was forming the diet that would nurture life in her whole family. She was the chemist, the health practitioner. You know, diet is one of the key elements to good health. And there she was at the core of the chemistry of that diet. Welfare. When you were sick, who was to take care of you? This was the job of woman. It has been in the nature of woman since time again. Now, I don't want to discount men from this, because men are providing the means by which she would produce a healthy diet in the kitchen. They're more the military protecting the nest of the home, in which the woman practices her arts of being health, education, and welfare, the nurture of life. It is her giving nature that puts the giving nature in man, but that giving nature is gone to the woman who just wants to have fun. I don't want to give life. I don't want to be bothered with giving life. I want to make something of my life. What a selfish, self-indulgent spirit is cultivated in a society where women just want to have fun. And the man, that particular woman, at least she wanted to have fun with a man, because she wouldn't need birth control having fun with a woman. You know, I mean, these are supposedly crass subjects, but these are one of the essential subjects of nature, of both spiritual and physical nature of man and woman. And these people have reduced woman down where even women are talking about the most honored profession in society as being some sort of ridiculable pastime for women who don't want to make anything of themselves. They just want to be wives and mothers. How degrading. How did that become degrading? What is happening in our minds where we, you know, men for centuries, you know, would respect the position of woman. In some cultures, they give their whole fortune for the women to carry around because it was such a taboo to touch a woman, to injure a woman. Yes, there's been abuses, but this has been in the societies that have gone away from the natural nature of what men and women should be. And that's what we're doing, and we're opening the door to one of the most atrocious periods of time, the greatest Holocaust in the history of the world, because we have gone away from the natural role of women in the world. And we're going to talk in great detail about this on Liberty Radio Live, and then we'll give you a shot at me on Freedom Island.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.